The Apostle Paul, as he brought his letter to the Romans to a close, he lifts up some people that had played a significant role in ministry with him. Some caring for him, some helping him do his ministry, serving with him. But in the 16th chapter of Romans, he names 26 persons who shared ministry with him, touched his life. And of those 26, at least 6 of them were women. I say at least 6 because there's a couple of names in there that could have been a man or a woman, and we don't really know for certain enough about who they were to say. So we know at least 6 of them were women. And then there were some other women that's not, doesn't have a name, but he refers to, which is very significant in that culture. Paul is often considered by some today as a male chauvinist. And yet Paul, following after the example of Jesus, probably did more to elevate women and ministry in the church, particularly at that early stage of the church, than anyone else. Now, we're not going to look at every one of those today, but I want to focus on one of the women he lifts up. But he doesn't give a name to her. He just refers to her as the mother of. So instead of reading all 16 verses, I want to just focus on verse 13. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and greet his mother, a mother to me also. He doesn't even list this mother with a name. But what a significant statement. Greet Rufus and his mother, mother to me. Now the King James Version, or the New King James, says, greet Rufus, chosen the Lord and his mother in mine. And some want to try to go down a path that, well, he's talking about one woman who's mother to both of them. But most believe that he's talking about one woman, but in a different way than that. The New International puts it very specifically, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me also. And I imagine that many of us can identify with that statement, because there are those in our lives who, though not physically our mother, have been mother to us. And he lifts them up in this place of honor. Because what he's doing here is bringing honor to those that have invested their lives in the ministry of the kingdom, who've helped grow the church, and who have invested their lives in ministry to him. And in a sense, isn't that what this day is about? It's lifting up those who have been in ministry to us, who have blessed our lives. Now, I wish I could tell you a little bit more about this mother that he lifts up. Like some answers to, who is she? Where did Paul meet Rufus and his mother? Did she care for him during a time of illness? Or maybe provided a house for him to stay in while he was doing his missionary journey? And besides, who's Rufus anyway? And we really don't have much answers on that. There's only one other occasion in the New Testament where the name Rufus appears. And we're not certain if this is the same Rufus or not. But you remember when Jesus was going to the cross. He had been beaten. He had the cross placed upon him, and he's begun the journey to Calvary. And he falls under the weight of the cross. And Mark tells us they compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Now, since Mark included the two boys' names, you begin to assume that whoever he's writing to were aware of them, because neither other Gospels includes their names. He's the only one that gives the boys' names. And it just may be then that this mother that Paul's referring to was the wife of Simon, the Cyrene, who came in from the country telling us that he was a country boy from around Jerusalem that had come in for the Passover and gets called into ministry. Although that wasn't what the Romans called it. They just called it helping out this poor man who couldn't get the cross for him to die on. And he helps him out. But here's this mother referred to, which we know very little about. And yet it says so much, doesn't it? Greet Rufus and his mother, who was a mother to me also. He honored her as he honored those others in this last chapter. And it got me wondering why. What was it about this mother that meant so much to him that he would honor her along with these others that he honors because of their ministry, because of their faithfulness to God? Because isn't that part of what we're about today? Honoring mothers and those who have been like mothers to us. And particularly honoring those who have been an influence in our lives, who have helped us in our journey of faith. So why did he lift her up? Because I believe there's some guidance for us on this Mother's Day to why we do the day, if we can understand that. And so I want to suggest at least three things that I believe he lifted her up for and honored her for that we need to be mindful of on this day. And the first is this: we honor our mother and those who have been like a mother to us for their unconditional, persistent love. For their unconditional, persistent love. There's probably no one that's loved us quite so unconditionally and quite persistently as mothers. You know, as I thought about Rufus' mother, if in fact he was the son of Simon of Cyrene and she the wife, then she would have known the journey of the Pharisees. Because Simon got right in the midst of it, being in Jerusalem at that time. The Pharisees were the ones who led the persecution and the death of Jesus. She would have known that Paul, as part of the Pharisees, who was Saul at the time, was a big proponent of the persecution of the church. She would have known that he gave leadership to the stoning of Stephen and other Christians. And maybe she's one of those, when Paul gets converted, that first opened the door to him. Because if you read the Gospel of Acts, he had trouble getting his foothold in the church because they knew his story and were afraid of him. And just maybe because, you see, in the 13th chapter of Acts, there are some mentioned that were from Cyrene in the church of Antioch. Could it be that that's where they lived and were in ministry in that church in Antioch, and therefore opened the door to supporting him as he began his ministry? Now, that's all speculation. But for some reason, this woman who would have known his past showed unconditional, persistent love. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for a mom that showed me unconditional love. Because there were times that I needed that unconditional love. How about you? I mean, we're all sinners, right? We've all messed up along the way. And for most of us, it's been in moms that we've come the closest to experiencing a love likened to that of Jesus. Sad to say, not everyone experiences that in this culture we live in. But those of us who have need to honor our mothers. I'm in and out of hospitals every week, almost. Not quite as much as our doctors. But sometimes I'm there about as much, it seems like, in the week. And one thing I've noticed, dads have more trouble staying in a hospital room with family than moms do. They wear out. They get tired. They're ready to leave. But moms, they just kind of stick it out. I remember when our oldest daughter Bethany was just a baby, she had been very sick and dehydrated and had to take her to the hospital. And I thought Gina was going to go through the door after the doctor, because after the third scream we heard from Bethany, them trying to get an IV in, I thought Gina was going to beat the door down for a moment, because she was determined to be in there with that child. And then when it came time that they got her comforted and got her in the room, there was no getting her out of that room. There was no getting out her out of room. I saw that persistent love of a mother that's going to be there, stick it out. Many of us have experienced that kind of love. And you know, sometimes dads grow weary of wayward children, particularly when they get in trouble and get off track and keep getting off track and keep getting off track. But moms, that unconditional love. When I moved to Jacksonville, the secretary there and her husband had a young adult son who had been in and out of rehab for a drug addiction. And after about the third time, Dad had drawn the line and said, "It's not working. We're not bringing him home again." But Mom said, "Yes, we are." Now, she understood the journey that she was struggling with of tough love, but she couldn't say no to her son. That unconditional, caring love that stayed there. I've witnessed that. I witnessed that with a mom and my brother who battled with addiction and her journey with trying to live tough love with him. Tough love is that love that says no, that love that corrects, but still loves. And that's not always easy. In fact, as I thought about this, came to me, sometimes the line between unconditional love and tough love can be difficult to walk. And some of you mothers know that. And some of us dads know that. That line between unconditional love and tough love. Tough love is that love that Paul speaks about in Ephesians 4, speaking the truth in love. We need people to speak the truth in our lives. We need people to say no at times in our lives. We need people to speak correction into our lives. And that journey between unconditional acceptance and tough love can sometimes get blurred. I remember another family that I got a call from, the husband saying, "You need to come over. Our son is home again from rehab." This was his fourth or fifth journey in rehab with alcoholism. "And I don't believe we can accept him home again." And she's saying, "We're going to help." And so we entered into a conversation and the son was there. And Dad was saying, "You know, we have helped and helped and it's time he's got to go." And Mom says, "I can't put him out." And as we began to talk a little bit more, I learned why he kept falling back into the trap. Because she said something in our conversation that made me realize she was the aid She said, you know, I have to have my nightcap every evening. And the boy said, well, as a young man, that's where I get it. He comes home from rehab and knows his mother's going to take a drink that night. And when she goes to bed, he goes get the drink. And he's right back into it. You see, in one sense, it was unconditional love. But in another sense, she didn't love him enough to say no to her own habit. Because you see, we can be the aider of our children in their waywardness if we're not careful. We've got to live differently ourselves if we want them to live differently. But most of us have experienced that kind of love that's accepted us. And today is the day we give thanks. Rudyard Kipling wrote a poem about unconditional love of moms when he put it this way. If I were hanged on the highest hill, I know whose love would follow me still. Mother of mine, mother of mine. If I were drowned in the deepest sea, I know whose tears would come down to me. Mother of mine, mother of mine. And for those of us who've experienced that kind of unconditional love, this is the day to say thank you. To honor them as Paul honored this mother who shared unconditional love for him. But then I think there's another reason that we honor. And that is we honor our mother and those who've been like mothers to us for their influence in our lives. For their influence in our lives. The reality is every mother influences. Every dad influences. But the question is, what kind of influence? Has it been that influence that leads us closer to Jesus? That grows us as the spiritual person that we're supposed to be in walking with God in Jesus Christ. I think a great example of such a mother is the mother of Jesus Himself, Mary. Mary was not chosen by God just for the physical birth. I believe she was chosen because of her faith in God to be the one who nurtured Him and influenced Him into becoming the kind of Messiah He was to be. And I think you can find evidence for that in the Scriptures. And let me share one. Do you remember the first miracle ever performed by Jesus? It's found in the second chapter of John. It's at a wedding. That's the reason, if you can remember back to the wedding that you had, if it was in the church, it most likely made reference to the wedding in Cana of Galilee. Because it's in practically every denomination's rituals in marriage. But what happens is, Jesus isn't there by Himself. Listen to how John brings us to the story. On the third day, this is right as He begins His ministry, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And you remember the story? They ran out of wine. They ran out of wine. And when Mary became aware of that, she says to her son Jesus, they have no wine. And Jesus says to her, woman, what concern is that to you and me? My hour has not yet come. But notice, she pays no attention to what He said. She knows who He is. She knows His power. And she turns to the stewards and says, do whatever He tells you to do. What faith? Don't listen. He's going to do it. He's got the gifts to do it. He's got the power to do it. Do whatever He tells you to do. And what does He do? He says, get some water. Put it in these six big containers you've got. And then after getting them filled it with water, He says, now dip some out and take it to the chief steward. And the chief steward tasted and said, who's held the best wine to now? The only miracle Jesus does in his ministry that doesn't directly touch a person's life in kind of a physical way. I believe it says that Jesus used his power to touch a marriage as they got started, but that's for another sermon. What I want us to see is the influence of his mother. He begins his miracles of ministry at her request, under her influence. And we see that she journeys. Paul understood the power of influence, and he lifts up the influence in Timothy's life. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your mother, in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now I'm sure lives in you. He reminds him to remember and give thanks for their influence in the faith. John Wesley was like that. He had a mother that influenced him. Her name was Susanna Wesley. She's the one that grounded him in Bible study and prayer and worship and service, the spiritual disciplines that helped one grow in their relationship with God. Our first president of the United States had such a mother. George Washington said, "All I am, I owe to my mother." And that influence was a spiritual influence in his life. He was a man of prayer because she taught him to be a man of prayer. Abraham Lincoln, who led us through a very difficult time, said, "I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me." I'm thankful for a mother's prayer. I'm thankful for a mother who influenced me. And for me, that other mother was my aunt who lived next door. They influenced me not only by making sure I was in worship, but Mom taught me how to study the Bible. And I have her worn Bibles even today. She taught me how to pray. She taught me how to live in relationship with God by serving others in Jesus' name. And my aunt wasn't just my fourth grade elementary school teacher. She was also my Sunday school teacher. And I must confess, at times, I felt like I couldn't escape either one of them because they were wherever I went. But I'm thankful today. I am thankful because of the influence. Now I want you to see something. As Jesus comes to the end of his physical life, this mother that has influenced him, he honors in the greatest of ways. She followed him to the cross. She was there when he fell on the journey, if you read the scriptures. She was there when he hung on the cross, and looking down at Jesus, from the cross, Jesus sees Mary and his disciple John and says, "Woman, here's your son." And then turns to John, "Here is your mother." That moment he honored her in the greatest way of letting her know you're still cared for and provided for her care. And some of us are in that journey in our church of trying to honor our mother and our father during that time where life is changing. And we're trying to find that John who can come alongside to care. And I'm convinced that when we seek God, He'll guide us in that journey as well. For we continue to honor them. I could say so much more about all of these, but I need to bring this to a close. Here's one other thing I wanted to lift out as I think about Paul's honoring of this mother. We honor our mother and those who have been like mothers to us for the caring home they provide. I believe that Rufus's mother provided a home at some time for Paul, and he understood what it meant to be cared for and to be loved and supported. I read of a pastor in Memphis who had a new family that joined the church. And they had moved to Memphis from Baltimore, Maryland. And so in the conversation, he asked, "Were you from Baltimore?" And the guy said, "No, actually, I'm from no place because we've always moved. I guess I'd have to say home was wherever mother was. Home was wherever mother was. And for many of us, that's true. It's not the physical place that makes it home. It's mother and the relationships. Gina and I have served seven churches in our 44 years of ministry. And I say ours because I took my first church and 2 weeks later we got married. And we've been in this journey ever since together. We've moved, therefore, seven times. Well, churches seven times. There's been more homes than that. And some of those were quite unexpected. But one thing I know is it was always home because she made it home. And what makes it home is that loving care, that presence, that listening ear, that compassionate concern, that hug that wipes away tears. Isn't that what makes home? The main reason home is where mother is because that is where we find a shoulder to cry on, a hug that is comforting, and a word of peace and love spoken to our hearts. Who is that person in your life that offers that listening ear, that hug, that care? If it's been your mom, you need to honor her today. That's what this day is about. If it's been some other woman in your life, you need to honor her today. That's the reason I wore a tie today. Because my mom always made sure I had a new tie on Mother's Day to honor her. And I meant, except grandchildren kind of got my focus yesterday, to get a white rose to wear. Because she always made sure I had a rose on Mother's Day, too, to honor her. And hers was white to remember her mom. But I did honor her by taking flowers down to the two women that most influenced my life, my mom and my aunt, and put it on their graves for this weekend. You know, that's the way I can honor, and I thank God. But there are others that I try to honor, like my wife, who is that kind of mom to our children and grandchildren. And sometimes we battle that unconditional love I talk about and how far that goes. We still have that journey with grandchildren. But it's that love that goes whatever the miles. Because that's God's love, isn't it? We experience that from God and we're to share that love with others. So today, we honor moms. But we also are challenged to share that kind of influence with others. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your presence today. And we thank you for those that have influenced our life and those who have been there for us. We thank you, Lord, for those who have shared that unconditional love that you have with us. We thank you, God, for those who have influenced us in the faith. We thank you, God, for those who've made it home through a listening ear, a loving concern, compassion and presence. And God, as we give praise and honor, lead us to be that kind of people to others, that we might influence others toward you, that we might be there for one another, to live more and more like Jesus so that others see Jesus in us. It's His name we pray. Amen.